Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl Atkinson here. Welcome to another edition of Full Measure After Hours. You may have heard about ideas to send social workers on police calls instead of the cops. I went to one city where they're doing just that to see how it's working out. This week on Full Measure, I'm going to be taking a look at the economy. We're talking about Sunday, December 5th. You know, economists are typically not neutral in terms of their views. A lot of times I notice on news reports, an economist may be interviewed and treated as if that person has an objective view of what the economy is like or what the forecast is. But in fact, economists often come from a specific philosophy or viewpoint, and it's almost never set up that way. When you hear an economist interviewed, they rarely say this is a conservative-leaning economist or a liberal-leaning economist or an economist that comes from this school of thought or that school of thought. The fact is, there are many differences of opinions, particularly when it comes for forecasts for the economy. And let's face it, if one economist or set of economists cornered the market on accuracy, well, we wouldn't need to interview a bunch of economists because we would know what the future holds. And in fact, there's a lot of uncertainty. So in my program this week, when we're looking at the economy, how we got where we are today, how bad is it really? What is the near-term forecast for the future? And when we're talking about things like the debt and inflation, as the price of nearly everything it seems to be going so high, the supply chain issues, the labor market, so much of these things, there are going to be differences of opinion among economists. So what I'm doing this week is I found economists that come from different viewpoints to ask them really the same questions about the economy. And they agreed to sit side by side and kind of debate each other very politely in a civil way you don't see a lot on the TV news these days. And you might be surprised to hear they do agree on some fundamental points, but where they seem to disagree the most is what's behind the fundamentals. So, for example, both of these economists agreed that inflation is not going away, our inflation problem, in the next couple of weeks or even the couple of months. But they disagree on, let's say, who's to blame or who's to credit or how we got here. So that's my program this Sunday, my cover story on Full Measure. But another story I'm reporting this week from Denver has to do with the Denver Police Department's STAR program. And this is something that's happening amid efforts to defund police departments nationwide. There's been a little bit of remorse in some places as crime has gone up, particularly in some communities where they have taken steps to defund the police departments to some degree. Well, in Denver, they are short of police like a lot of places. They're not fully forced right now. And anyway, the STAR program, as you'll hear in a moment, was a pilot program, and it involves sending a van with social workers to some 911 police calls. They triage the calls, and they decide occasionally when there might be a call that's appropriate for these responders to come to who are not police officers. Part of the idea is save the resources of law enforcement where they're needed the most, particularly when they're short-staffed. Maybe they're not needed for these calls where there's a lot of homelessness in Denver now, y'all, but there are a lot of homeless people who have mental health issues, and let's say businesses are calling because there's someone using drugs, kind of laying in front of the street and harassing other people. Maybe it's decided that's not a call for the cops to take care of. That's something that can be handled more by social workers or mental health professionals. In those cases, they're triaging those, sending the STAR van and seeing if they can avoid escalating a situation and also save the police resources. Now, this was initially portrayed when I read about it. The reason I wanted to interview the police chief in Denver about this program was it was sort of billed in some of the media as part of an effort to defund the police, that they were taking some police out of the equation. But I found out from Chief Paul Pazin that that's not the case. In fact, the Star Van was his idea. He copied it from another city where it seemed to be working. And he said this is actually an enhancement of the police force. It's actually increasing in budget, not taking away from the police budget. So it's not a defund the police program. It's something he's fully on board with, in addition to good, strong policing and not changing that. Another interesting part you will hear in my interview with the chief in just a moment, there's another component to this whole program. It's not just responding to people who may have mental health problems or drug addictions, and often these are going hand in hand, particularly in these big cities that are overrun with problems like that, but there's follow-up. There is actually a team that will visit with these people afterwards to see what sorts of ongoing services they may need. That's something that he says, the chief, is sorely lacking in many places, and that's the key to helping perhaps get some of these people off the street so the same calls aren't coming in over and over again about the same people. Well, how is all of this working out so far after their pilot program? Here's my interview on the STAR program with Chief Paul Pazin of Denver. Can you just briefly set the stage? In the past 3 years, what's been going on in Denver and policing? What kind of atmosphere and what's been happening?
Well, a couple of things. I'm born and raised here in Denver, lifelong resident who has the good fortune of being the police chief currently. Before this, I was the district commander in District 1, which is Northwest Denver, the same neighborhoods that I grew up in. What's going on in Denver? There's a few things. The history of Denver is generally that of a community that comes together to solve problems, to solve issues. We're very forward-leaning. We take pride in being able to look at innovative solutions as a community in order to solve complex issues. Kind of building on that history of coming together, we worked with community nonprofits in order to create something that this entire city, for the most part, is very proud of, and that is our STAR program.
Before we get into that, before the STAR program was created, were there calls to defund the police here?
Absolutely not. The defund calls, the abolish calls, these started post George Floyd killing.
But I mean, did you face those calls after the George Floyd killing?
Yes, just like many police departments across the country, particularly the bigger cities, faced these types of defund, abolish, reallocate funds to something other than policing.
And before we get into the specific STAR program, what sorts of things have you had to do or have you done to try to fend off that, to make, if you have fended it off?
Good question about fending off. I think the most important part is that people recognize safety, public safety, and the important role that the police department and other law enforcement aspects of the criminal justice system play towards that. One thing that I see and hear as I interact with our communities is, by and large, community members want to be safe. And I hear from community members that are not talking about defunding the police, that they want the same or more policing in their community. They want better policing. And I think if we go at this approach, looking at alternative responses, that this is part of better policing. It's not one or the other. These are ands. Let's get alternative response and enough police officers to help our community stay safe.
Now, am I correct that even before you were police chief, you were looking at a program, I don't know if it was already called the STAR program, but how did you find out about it and what made you think that was a good idea?
So going to your earlier question about the history here in Denver, we were early adopters of the co-responder program. We had four co-responders dating back to 2016 and saw the tremendous value in being able to help people that are in mental health or substance abuse crisis by getting a trained clinician, trained professional to help us do this. We also saw some great work that took place in one of our neighborhoods where we had a grant and we partnered with a nonprofit to deliver mental health services. It worked so well that the parents and community members formed their own group in order to address some of these mental health challenges that they had with their children. So that served as kind of the foundation of, hey, let's, you know, really take a look at this. And we saw nothing but positive results from our initial attempts with the co-responder program. So we had a nice, strong foundation. About 4 years ago, before I was police chief, I met with community members, and we talked about this concept, borrowing the idea from CAHOOTS in Eugene, Oregon, and we did our research on it. We reached out to Eugene, the police chief. We reached out to Whitebird Clinic and the folks that been doing similar type of work, recognizing that there are also unique differences between our city and Eugene, Oregon. So we came together with community members. We also recognized that funding would be a challenge here. So thankfully, the people of Denver had a ballot initiative called Caring for Denver that allows money to be spent for these types of programs. We sent a team up to Eugene to take a look at it, as well as to see what those differences are for our community and how we can work together in a collaborative way and address the needs that our people have here in order to deliver the best service possible.
Can you give a thumbnail sketch of the basic concept, what STAR is?
So our STAR program here in Denver is designed to help people that are in crisis, whether that's mental health crisis or substance abuse. It's also out there to help individuals that may be experiencing homelessness. And these are the low-level calls where there's not a weapon, there's no violence that is being displayed, and we're safely sending unarmed mental health clinicians as well as paramedicine professionals to these calls to help get better outcomes for the individual who's in crisis.
How long have you been doing this pilot program, and how's it going so far?
Well, the program itself launched on June 1 of 2020, right in the middle of the movement that we find ourselves in post George Floyd. And it was originally scheduled to launch on April 1st, except the pandemic got in the way. We weren't sure we could keep two people in the same car safe. Plus, there were PPE challenges. So recognizing that the need was great, recognizing that we could keep people safe, we moved that start date to June 1st. It's been in action for more than a year now, and the overwhelming sense from the people that are doing the work, as well as the feedback that we get from community members, is one that's positive. I also want to point out that it is something that our officers have recognized the value. 34% of the time in the study period that we utilized, it was actually a police officer that called for the STAR van in order to assist the person that was in low-level crisis.
Do you feel in the big picture that there is more of a mental health crisis in this country, or a growing mental health crisis, and this is reflected in part by the movement to use programs like the STAR van?
Our biggest increase we saw as far as mental health calls for service actually began in 2019. We saw about a 17% increase in mental health calls for service. We were also very concerned about this during the pandemic, and we were getting daily reports on things like suicides, mental health calls for service. We looked at domestic violence. We looked at child abuse to see what the pandemic and some of the economic crisis, some of the stay-at-home issues would have on individual psyche. Total calls stayed relatively flat. However, we did see some increases, for example, in domestic violence at the level of violence itself. So we studied that. I think that time will tell. I think that we have a lot of mental health calls for service currently, and we need to figure out how we can address these in the most appropriate way, how we can get the better outcomes. And sometimes those better outcomes do not include a police officer.
Can you describe the philosophy? Is the idea that, first of all, a police officer's time is wasted responding to something that does not need law enforcement help? Is it the idea that law enforcement can escalate a situation unintentionally when they go somewhere if, you know, armed and if they're not needed in that capacity?
So a little bit of everything that you just said, right? We definitely want our police officers to be available to address the violent crime issues that we have, the property crime issues that we have, and the traffic safety issues. That's something that police officers do very well. When we're talking about individuals in mental health crisis, we have some additional training that many police officers across the country, including ours, have as far as crisis intervention techniques. 40 hours of training in order to help deal with individuals who are in mental health crisis. And that's a good start, but would you rather have somebody with 40 hours of training or somebody that's got 4 years of college degree and background that does this work? So really, when we're asking that question, we frame it as the better outcomes. We want better outcomes for our community. And this means the individual that's in crisis having a better outcome, as well as freeing up law enforcement to address violent crime, property crime, and traffic safety. It is a win-win for everybody that's involved.
Stick around. There's more after a short break. Do you have something to say and want to make your own podcast? Let me tell you how to do that for free with Anchor. Anchor has creation tools that let you record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. You can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more places, and you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's all you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You said earlier, some people see this as a defund the police solution. People may see this however they want to see it, through whatever lens. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and I really appreciate asking that question because, you know, it's getting a lot of attention across the country, and there are folks that see this as, this is what we're talking about when we are talking about defunding the police. Similar to the ongoing continuum of care is, it is great that we can get better outcomes for individuals that are in low-level crisis. But when we look at our calls for service, when we look at the more than 600,000 times that somebody calls 911 for a varying degree of issues, what STAR can handle, fully built out, is about 2.8% of our calls for service, a relatively small number. So this is a better way to get those positive outcomes, to free officers up to deal with those higher level calls for service, the violent crime, the property crime, and the traffic safety. Some folks see this as an or, right? Police officers or STAR vans and mental health professionals. We see this as an and it's part of a continuum of care. It's part of reducing the harms that impact our community in order to keep this city safe.
So in Denver anyway, in Denver, this is not a plan to reduce the police force a certain amount and hand those responsibilities over to somebody else or take money from the police force and put it elsewhere.
We've been able to fund this through the ballot initiative Caring for Denver. So not a penny of the STAR program comes from the police department and takes money away. And I would encourage folks continue to down that path, that this is not an or, this is an and that if we focus on outcomes, right, if we say we want better outcomes, we don't focus on, hey, I want to make this slogan come true, then that's how we can do a better job of keeping our community safe, how we can make policing better as well as get better outcomes for the people that are in need.
So what happens next with this program as it's, I guess, handed off to the state and funded, actually expanded?
So the program itself, we're very proud of our collaboration with our community members to get the pilot up and running. We're very thankful for the funding from Caring for Denver to help us do this. Ultimately, this will be transitioned over to the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment because of the behavioral health aspects of this. They will manage this program, the STAR program, in close partnership with Denver 911, because 911 essentially is the hub. We have a hotline that comes in, 720-913-STAR, as well as our non-emergency number and our emergency number, that the operational side of this will be run out of Denver 911.
And when does that happen? The change? What, is it still a pilot program technically, or when is that?
It's being transitioned as we speak. So Carly Simon, one of the main folks from the very beginning, somebody who traveled to Eugene, Oregon, will help as managing this program out of Denver 911. So we're in that transition process as we speak. There was an RFP in order to do the expansion. The city council and the mayor's office have been very supportive of this by awarding $1.4 million last year, expanding that this year. So the big picture is that we get multiple STAR vans throughout the entire city in order to address these low-level mental health calls for service, freeing up officers to address the violent crime, property crime, and traffic safety challenges that we face.
And can you talk about the bigger picture? You mentioned you have additionally a co-responder program and other facets, the follow-up and so on.
Yes, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about this continuum of care, because STAR is amazing. The program itself has had better outcomes than what we had initially conceived during this, and we're very proud of the work that they do, and we see that every day on the positive impact that they're having for people with low-level mental health crisis. What's important to note is having a robust co-responder program for those mid and higher level calls for service. An individual that may be armed with a weapon, or an individual that's displaying violent behavior. You don't want to send civilian folks into that situation where they could be hurt as a result of their attempts to help people. So having a co-responder with a police officer to de-escalate the situation and try to keep folks safe is critical. We have a very robust system with 25 co-responders currently, expanding that to 32, again with the help from Caring for Denver. And then, the piece that I think is critical in all of this is the follow-up, right? It's great that we have this alternative response for low-level mental health calls for service. It's great that we have co-responders in every district to have 24/7 coverage. But what you do after you're helping somebody that is in crisis is where I see a lot of the important work that to be done. And in Denver, what we have created, it started a month after the STAR program, is what's called outreach case coordinators. So social workers that follow up after the individual is helped on the street, right? The average time on call for STAR, for example, is about 25 minutes. My issues are not going to be solved in 25 minutes, right? If I have mental health challenges or substance abuse challenges, that 25 minutes may stabilize me for the moment and reduce the acuity and the crisis that I'm in, but what about next week? What about next month? And so what we've created here in Denver is that follow-up program, that ability to help people after the call for service, to connect them to housing, to connect them to jobs, to connect them to services, so they're not sliding back into a crisis mode. And we see that as the long-term sustainable approach to really helping people in our city.
Denver Police Chief Paul Pazin. For more on this effort, the STAR Van effort, and others like it, you can watch my program on Sunday, December 5th. To find a TV station in your city that plays Full Measure, you can go to CherylAtkison.com, click the Full Measure tab, and you'll see the whole list of stations on that page. You can also watch us live or replays online Sundays at fullmeasure.news. Fullmeasure.news. Live starts at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, and then we post the program there usually around noon Eastern Time, sometimes before, so you can see all the segments. You can watch last week's program there right now, in fact. And download our free app, Stirr, S-T-I-R-R. You can see Full Measure live or on demand there. Has a lot of other great entertainment possibilities and movies and shows and local news even. Because a few of you have asked how you can support independent journalism, particularly as the information landscape becomes more and more managed, visit the Cheryl Akison store at CherylAkison.com. Click the store tab at the top and you can see products with some sayings I think you're really going to like on them, such as, if you're not allowed to debate it, it's not science, and some animals are more equal than others, and of course, do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself. These are great gift ideas and a great way to support independent journalism. The Cheryl Akison store at CherylAkison.com. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.